Blog Talk Radio.
How you doing? Uh-oh, I'm on mute. Hey, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing, Brother Mike? I'm fine.
Hey, good. Glad to have you here. We're going to get started in a few minutes. I'm just getting some last-minute things together.
Okay.
All right, so I'm going to drop us down. I'm going to run the intro, and then we'll go ahead and get started.
All right, then, bro.
All right, thank you. Nice to meet you.
You're welcome. Nice to meet you, too.
Drop.
baby that they once had.
That man is a product of a poor environment. There's absolutely nothing wrong with him. I can prove it.
Of course, there's something wrong with him. He's a Negro.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Big Mike Drop. I'm your host, Big Mike, and I got the shades back on tonight, man. We're going to have a special show tonight. This is part two to the Colonized Mind. We did it yesterday. We got started. Got a couple of special guests in the building with me tonight, man. We're going to get it going. We also got the link in the chat. So if you want to join, you can join. This is going to be a panel discussion. We're going to respect each other. First and foremost, we're going to respect each other. I don't want to, you know, I might let you fight for a little bit if you got a difference in opinion with somebody. But, you know, once it starts the mudslinging and the name calling, that's really not productive. So we're not going to go there. We're not going to go there tonight. We got some OGs in the building with us, man. We got Goddess Miriam. I'm going to go and bring her up now. Goddess Miriam, how you doing? How you doing, sister?
I'm fine, brother. How are you?
Good. Well, let's give you a round of applause. Let's give you a round of applause. Man, we got Dr. Randy Short getting ready to come in the building here as well, man. We're getting ready to chop up the colonized mind.
Indeed.
Indeed. So, Sister Mary, or Goddess Miriam, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to, you know.
Oh, that's fine.
Black grassroots activist. Tell us a little bit about what it is you do and who you are.
I'm Miriam, or Goddess Miriam. I've been on and off doing black grassroots since I've been 16 years of age. I'm a community activist. I'm fighting for our reparations, also fighting for overstanding and accountability when it comes to our environmental genocide that's been committed on my community of East St. Louis, Illinois.
Yes.
As well as making sure we don't have drag time and other things in our schools. So that's what I've been doing, and being active and getting people to also call, well, calling in stage is over, but they're still doing the write-in port to the OMB because they are trying to redefine us right now, and it's up until the 12th of this month. So of April. So, yeah.
Redefine. What do you mean? What do you mean by redefine?
They are, let's see, when you had Jesse Jackson with the coalition push, rainbow push coalition in the 80s, the word African American appeared and it was thrust upon us. Well, he made that decision along with the OMB, and we were not included on that. We didn't get a say on what we wanted to be called. We were stripped of our name of Black American, or, you know, we like to say foundational Black American, because we are the foundation of this country. We built this country, and we're also, we have ancestry from chattel slavery. So we have a very unique lineage, and not just fighting for reparations also. It has to be lineage-based. You have to be able to trace your ancestors back past, I think it's the
1865 census.
Census, indeed. And many of us can go even further back than that, you know, because, like I said, our lineage was already here long before there was a Columbus or any of Caucasoid people from the European continent. We were already here with our ancestors. And a small percentage, when you get to really dealing with it, came from chattel slavery. So, yes, that's what I'm doing, and trying to educate our people on getting in there and making sure they don't erase the word Negro, because when Obama
Obama was in office.
Obama.
He, Obama was in office. He got rid of the word Negro, and we had to, you know, fight to, like, no, you're going to include that because that's too much history under that. And know this, family, we were classified as Negro, Black, African American, Black American, you know, mulatto, all of this. And then even our indigenous ancestors was classified later as Indians or Natives when they were the aboriginal indigenous people of the soil. Not only were we here first, we built what is now known as America, the greatest country in the world. So, yes, that's part of my fight, bro.
Hey, amen to that, man. And shout out to America, man.
Thank you.
And shout out to America. And shout out to you, sister. I'm glad you're joining me. Look, this is going to be a shocking show tonight, but you kicked it off the right way. Because, you know, this is going to be about identification and identifying yourself and basically differentiating yourself from people that aren't necessarily from here. We'll just say that. And you might have to, you know, differentiate yourself from people that are here as well. So,
yes, sir.
Yeah, so we're going to have to definitely segregate and determine or separate the wheat from the tares, like Vicky likes to say, right, over there. So Vicky says separate
the wheat
from the tares.
From the tares, better known as tethers.
Yes, yes, yeah. I didn't want to go there this early, man, but I mean, you know, so fuck it. Let's get started because this is some tether. This is some tether type of behavior. So yesterday, we started this little series, The Colonized Mind, because I was listening, and I don't know if you're familiar. I don't know if you're in the manosphere or anything like that, or if you're familiar with any of the talking points. But you
familiar
have
familiar with it, but not in it or of it. But yes, sir, I'm familiar with it.
Okay, got you.
Garbage.
So we have this chick. This white girl named Pearly Things, or just Pearly Things, I'm sorry. And she's basically a YouTuber. She's about 1.3, 1.4 million subscribers. Yes, and she's basically taking over Kevin Samuels' position, the position that he left vacant. You know, all of a sudden, he left it vacant. Now, I happen to be a huge fan of Kevin Samuels. Didn't agree with everything he said, but I agree with the work that Kevin Samuels was doing. Because Kevin Samuels was trying to make Black families great again. Excuse me, I'm sorry to put some chapstick on. But he was trying to make Black families great again. Yeah, yeah, I can't have my lips all white. They look real white on the screen to me. So it's like, oh, man, let me get this squared away.
All right, brother, how I'm looking? Because I didn't check anything. I was had to get in here.
Sister, you are just fine. You are beautiful. You are beautiful.
You,
so everything is looking good over there. So, man, shout out to that. So Pearly Things, or just Pearly Things, had some had an interview with Nick Fuentes. I'm sure you're familiar with the business, Jason Black. Jason Black went on a 7.5-hour masterful broadcast of the day, in which case a popular YouTuber in the manosphere, and she's very popular amongst us. I've been in several chats with her there. I wasn't chatting directly with her, but she was, you know, she was there. Named Jessica X. And this is by no means to pick on Jessica X, because right now Jessica X, Nathan Daly, who we covered yesterday, and it's a few more, but you know, we can't really get to everybody. I'm just getting to the ones that stuck out to me. I went to Nathan and basically had a rebuttal to Nathan's broadcast because I've met Nathan. So Nathan knows that, you know, this is all intellectual jousting. You know, and that's a brother that you can intellectually joust with. I'll say that. And so Jessica X is today. She's today because she called in to the business podcast and it went downhill. For her, like real quick, it went downhill for her
real quick.
But to me, she seemed, and like I said, not to pick on a woman, but to me, she signifies something much larger going on.
Indeed.
And she did have courage for calling into that, so I'm not going to sit up and disparage
right.
her. I mean, she was, you know, she got drugged. But we all get drugged sometimes, right?
Oh, well,
yeah, we all get drugged sometimes.
That's
yeah.
right. It's called straightening.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. But it started a deeper conversation, a much larger conversation, something that there's been rumblings of probably since the pandemic. We're coming into a new age. We're identifying ourselves. You know, we're delineating from these other
yeah.
groups.
Yeah.
And I think that it's evolution. Because as other groups come into this nation and bring their customs and cultures, which we find fucking weird, I just need to say. But you know, I digress. But some of their customs are different to us, and we're human just like everybody else. So what's different is sometimes scary. I'll say that. You know, I don't want to try all your food. I don't want to do all that. You know, I'm not trying to be Mr. Multicultural Mike around here. Like, you know, I like what I like, and I stick to what I stick to.
Okay.
But I can expand my mental palate or my cultural palate to try to understand and empathize with people from other cultures as well with what they've gone through.
Mm-hmm.
And what this has taught me in this situation is that there is a difference between us and somebody who comes from a colonized country.
Indeed.
Somebody who has a colonized mindset, a colonized mentality is different. And we've been in these spaces battling it out, talking about, you know, defending whether racism is real or not, you know, talking about slavery, whether it was, whether it even happened now. People are even, you know, questioning whether slavery even happened. It's just so many weird conversations.
Yeah, ignorant,
yeah,
stupidity, and downright disregard and disrespectful. I'm not going to say that they're ignorant, because if you live in this day and age where you have access to your phone, it's a baby or a miniature computer. There is no excuse for it other than you want to be assimilated, included in the big head pet and the butter biscuits of white supremacy. Let's call it what it is.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So those people, yeah, it's just ridiculous. And it's a lot of tether babble that's going on. And it's a lot of I'm white and I say so babble going on. And then they want the approval of Daddy and Mammy, so much white Mammy, that is, that they are willing to disregard, almost as if they're willing to disregard common sense or facts and knowledge and history that's right before their face, because they make deals to come over here. Now, that's not to put down any of the brothers and sisters who are in the diaspora that are truly writers. They are far in between. It's over here they are.
Right.
I'm sure it's a lot more over there, but they're just not vocal enough, or they don't have the means to be vocal enough. But we're not trying to do the reach across the rainbow, all borders type of thing. We have to delineate and gatekeep. Real detrimental to us to keep being an umbrella and being all inclusive to people who are willing to eat the flesh off our bones, or willing to snatch the food out of our mouth, which we will use the terminology culture hawk instead of vulture.
Hey, there you
as
go.
We were discussing.
Yeah, there you go. Yes, exactly. I brought that up yesterday. Culture hawks. It's not culture vulture. It sounds cool because it rhymes. It's easy. It flows off the tongue real easy, but it's not real. Before we go any further, I want to just shout out to some of the people we got in the building. We got Mandrell in the building. We got Raj Will in the building. We got the World Class and Zone 864 TV in the building. So look, we're gonna merge the pro black and the manosphere space tonight, because we got people here from both. And I'm sure the many silent, you know, watchers that are out there watching as well. I want people to be able to join this conversation and join this panel. But first, I want to frame it up, because, like I said, if Jessica X is listening, if Nathan Daly is listening, the link is in the chat, pinned to the top, and you can definitely come over and, you know, speak your piece. I have a lot less subscribers. They might not come. I ain't worried about it. I'm going to do what I got to do out here. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to speak up when I see things that are going wrong. I'm going to speak up. So I want to jump into a little bit of this phone call that Jessica X was on with Jason Black, in which case this is all fallout from the Jess Pearly things, you know, racist interview with Nick Fuentes. Now, I'll say this. I'm pissed off because anytime we call racism out, and we are the people that have almost defeated the shit in this country.
You're being divisive.
Well, first of all, we don't know what we're talking about. It didn't exist. You find yourself arguing history with people, like Zone 864 TV says. Everything is a revisionist history. Now everybody drinking the Kool-Aid. You know what I mean? So we're arguing this revisionist history. These guys are getting these political ideologies twisted up in it.
Exactly.
And this is we're getting back to racial politics. We're getting back to racial politics. I think we could thank Mr. Trump for that, who, by the way, is probably going to be president again in 2024 since he's just been indicted. If I were his marketing team, I would go ahead and use the mugshot for T-shirts and posters. I really would. I would go ahead and just put his mugshot out there for T-shirts and posters and watch how many people go vote for him by the droves. I'll let y'all know what I plan on doing as we get closer to the date. But I do want to play a little bit of this phone call in which Jessica X called in, and she said that she called to apologize to Jason Black, but I never heard an apology. It seemed like she kind of got wrapped up into defending Jess Pearly things.
She
got wrapped up in defending Jess Pearly things, and when she realized there was no defense for it, then all of a sudden she was the victim, she was attacked, even though she left and came back. I don't get that either. She left and came back. We're not going to get that far into it. And it was even another brother from England or London or wherever. And he was trying to tell her that she was wrong. But I want y'all to hear the difference between then and now, especially after, you know, the shellacking that she took in front of hundreds of thousands of people on the internet, hundreds of thousands. I mean, last time I looked at it 2 days ago, it had 189,000 views on it. So I know that it's gonna be interesting. It's gonna be interesting, but there's some things that came out here last night that kind of have everybody on YouTube that says stuff kind of turning. You know, they're kind of backing down off of it now. They're trying to backtrack a little bit, backpedal from, you know, these positions that they took early on in the game. So what I want to do is I want to play a little bit of this. This is for fair use. This is from the business. And then we're going to get into Jessica X today or yesterday. I just caught it today. But we're going to get into her newest podcast and what she's saying now. So let's get to it. Let's get to it. Share the screen. And we got the Blog Talk Radio up and popping. We will be taking phone calls tonight. So I got the whole thing going. But, this is Jessica X and Jason Black. Let's get into it.
Take two.
Can you hear?
Hello, Jessica. Or at least they
can. Hi.
All right, Jessica, what is on your mind?
Well, I've had quite a few people to tell me to call in. I don't really have a problem with you, so...
Why did they tell you to call in then?
Well, you know, the guy called in earlier, Don T, and he said that I was agreeing with you, and then Pearl came through, and then I switched it up. That's not true. I don't know if you've listened to it, but no, that's not true. I just gave my opinion on it. Even when Obsidian did his show yesterday with Pearl, the interview, I kept the same energy. I didn't switch it up, so... I'm not really sure what's going on.
Where are your people from originally, Pearl? Nigeria, the Caribbean? Where are they from?
Pearl? My dad's from Africa. He's Nigerian.
Okay. Pretty much figured that in your mom.
My mom's white.
Okay. We won't hold it against you. All right. Well, the word is, though, that apparently you had some disagreements and switching up in tone where I was concerned once Pearl showed up. A lot of that going around.
Yeah. No, I feel like I kept the same energy.
Really?
I don't know if people want me to rip her head off. You know, I know you watched Obsidian, so you saw me up there. You saw me speak to her. Well, I don't know if you did, but I presume you did. So I kept the same energy, like face-to-face on the panel with her, so I'm not entirely sure.
Well, just to make sure we clear the air on where that is concerned here, so that you can speak in your own words here now, as opposed to somebody mm-hmm. else. Slavery was exaggerated.
Oh, no, I said on my stream, I don't agree with that. Because I said she used Roots as a reference for slavery being exaggerated. And, like, Roots is a movie because the person who made the movie said that they wanted a myth for people to live by. But that's in regards to a movie. That's not in regards to slavery. So I made that clear on my stream.
Okay, but the principle itself, though, Roots being an allegory, and that's perfectly fine, that's perfectly okay. I don't think you can argue with Roots either, though. I don't even think that Roots can be argued with even as an allegory.
Mm-hmm.
A Christmas Carol was an allegory, but it's not really one you can argue with either, and it has fanciful elements to it. So the only way you would argue with it is if you're a person who believes, yeah, to hell with the poor.
Yeah, I'm not trying to argue with it. I'm not trying to argue.
Why is it that Pearl has found so many black folks, usually of immigrant backgrounds, in London who have been so pliable and so amenable to her?
Oh, I can't speak to that one directly.
Really?
You know?
Okay, let's not really, we want to go out like that? Really?
Honestly, I think she's giving them a job. So they're taking the job, you know?
Okay, but you don't think that's indicative of the rank and file of their class over there?
The rank and file Nigerian?
Yeah, I mean, you throw a penny in a crowd and you can find plenty of folk there who are willing to buck dance for her over there. She's had no problem getting people who work for her, people to join her in the studio, people to get on microphones. She's had no problem doing that.
Okay, and like I said, this isn't to make Jessica X look any kind of way or whatnot, but I do think that the conversation was started from a, and like we said, we're not using the word disingenuous anymore. I think it was started from a spurious standpoint because she did not call to apologize. She called in because she was told to call in, and she did what she was told. So I do have to put that, you know, put that into perspective there. Because I think that's a misconception that's going around that she was calling to apologize. No, she was called because she was told to call in. And that's how the business takes care of business. People tell you to call in or forever be gone, right? So, and the reason I'm going early tonight is because he's supposed to be going in on a lead attorney tonight.
Yeah.
So I want to check that out. I want to see what he has to say about lead attorney. I happen to like lead attorney, but I want to see what Jason Black has to say about lead attorney. I'm going to try to do it from a standpoint of neutral because, you know, I like both the brothers. I feel like maybe there's somewhere in between they can meet and make some big things happen. We need all the brain power behind this that we can get. So let's keep going with this. I'm only going to go about 15 minutes in. We'll stop every few minutes and kind of, you know, sum up, top up what we've heard because it's very important that we get this framework before we step into the next part of it, because this is where I really have an issue. So let's go. You got anything on this, Goddess Mary, thus far?
Thus far on what she was saying, like I said, she immediately somewhat went victim, and then she tried to say that she did not, that she did call her out on being a bigot and a racist. When she did not, she said some of her views were, and that she's going to chalk it up to ignorance. And then we've seen why she came from that point of view, because she was living in a delusional bubble.
Right.
And so they pretty much had to get her to admit what she was. You know, the fact that, you know, what she experienced. I don't want to jump ahead because I know the next clip you're going to play.
Yeah, yeah, you know what time it is.
Yeah.
You know what time
yeah.
it is. It goes downhill from here. Like, look, this is the best that this is going to be. I just want everybody Maybe. Who hasn't seen it, just know that this is the best that this is going to be. I really wish I could break down the entire 7 hours, but it's just way too much content because he has some hell of a characters call in. I mean, he destroyed the Manosphere all the way from front to back. And Jessica X is considered Manosphere. I know that's weird. I know that's wild. But that little sweet, soft accent,
yeah,
it makes niggas melt every time niggas turn into butter. Oh, yeah.
And coming off like she's submissive, but yet she's like the back end of a feminist. Coming off as she's submissive because soon as she can hurl, and I know you getting ready to play this in the clip, she calls him a race baiter.
Race hustler.
I mean hustler. Yeah, hustler. Actually, race baiter would be curly things, but okay.
Yeah, and race baiter is a white people's word.
Indeed.
But the black people call us race hustlers. See, when they don't want to
yeah,
hear, when they don't want, when they want to ignore what's going on, then all of a sudden we're hustling something or we're charlatans, right? But then black people in a lot of situations fall victim to charlatans every day.
Every day,
because a lot of these people are just downright weird. They don't have any intellectual backbone. They're not intellectually honest. They don't want to have real honest conversations. They just want to get you up there, cuss you out, and hit the mute button on you. So, you know, yeah, you know, we'll keep it going with that. But I find it interesting that she's Nigerian and she calls herself white. It comes out later that her mom's Italian. Italian's not white.
Yeah. Right, they're ethnicity group, they say, but that's a whole big thing with them because they feel it's white Italians, then they feel that it's the ones further south, and the Sicilians, they say, have too much black blood in them, so you know how they feel about that.
Right.
But
which ones get at your ass, though? That's the question.
Sicilians, baby.
And get at your ass. So. Hey, look, and that's what we're doing today. We're getting at a little ass today, man. We're getting at a little ass today because, look, I don't buy your fucking apologies. I don't know. I don't buy any of these videos. Let me just keep going. Let's go.
I don't knock them for it because a job is a job, you know?
Okay. Jessica, now just to be sure here, are you sure you did not refer to me as a race hustler?
Do you know what?
Hold on, man. Look, ladies and gentlemen, stop what you're doing. We got Dr. Randy Short in the building. The Dr. Randy Short in the building. What's going on, Dr. Short?
Brother, I'm good. Pardon me. I'm crazy news disturbed me, so I'm a few minutes behind, but I'm here.
Okay, is everything
I did not forget you, Ed. What helped me up was thing news in Georgia. I can just tell you, and you can tell it to your audience.
What's going on?
Remember the guy named Godsey Kudo? I know you know who I'm talking about.
I'm not familiar.
Oh, yes, you do, because there's this Black Hammer political group. Yes, you have heard of Black Hammer political group. Have you heard about his sister? You know who I'm talking about?
From what I do.
Okay. So you're familiar with the Black Hammer group, and they had to raid a house, and they found a young man who had shot himself in the head. And
I do remember that. Yeah. Yeah, I do remember
okay.
that. Okay. Yeah.
Well, his mother just reached out to me. So one of the people. So that's what threw everything off.
Okay. Okay. Gotcha.
And so maybe, I don't know. To you, but from the letter that I've read, they are actually starving him in prison.
Wow.
Which I know people have committed crimes, but you're still supposed to make certain that they eat and they can take their medication. And that segues to just to all the young gender dysphoric or whatever the hell it's called, the non-binary yeah. black folk out there,
yeah.
there's a consequence for how you live and your sexuality, and you need to be responsible with it because on one hand, they tell you how great and wonderful and how you can do whatever you want, but you really can see things go south. And so
indeed.
It has to be a very bad situation when somebody's reaching to broke down me for assistance. I'm not picking. I'm just saying it must be kind of dire.
Right.
So, so that's some Georgia stuff there. And again, to my young black American friends, nobody's trying to beat you up or whatever. I don't have anyone in jail, and I've never been locked up or arrested for sodomizing anybody, any of this stuff, or threatening or having people point guns at people and say that you're going to booty banditize them. Judgment's going to fall on people that do unrighteous things. And you really shouldn't have guns pointed at people and sodomize them.
Yeah, that's pretty gross.
This is the allegation of the courts. I wasn't there. I'm glad I wasn't. Someone's committing suicide. It's a lot of mental challenges among younger people and of all ages. And I'm going to say this early. You need God. We need God as a community. I don't care. And not some God that suits you, but a God that gives you rules, regulations, and instructions and commandments that you have to follow for your good. People who live lawlessly ultimately suffer for their lawlessness. And that's just a reminder today. Trust me, I'm not thinking about family member of somebody with charges like that reaching out, and I'm not looking down on them either, but Lord, and the night before I was talking to the person that helped expose Afrika Bambaataa, who's still at large after raping boys and girls for decades.
Yeah.
We really, really need to get a handle on our souls.
I used to look up to Bambaataa too, man. That's what was messed up about that situation.
Well,
growing up, we used to all look up to him.
My boss signed Afrika Bambaataa to his first contract. And my boss's, I should say my boss's partner and my boss's attorney wrote up the contract for Afrika Bambaataa. I never looked up to Afrika Bambaataa. I always say to people, I was a lucky survivor. There were molesters of all races and colors in my environment. And thank God there were close calls, but nobody got me. I have a very, very, very low tolerance and a sensitivity to people who would hurt a child. And so I never liked Afrika Bambaataa from the first time I saw him in a video with James Brown. I couldn't watch the whole thing. I just felt repelled by him. So if I said to you, and all the years that Afrika Bambaataa has been out since what? It's been out the better part of 40 years?
45.
Other than
45. He was here when I got here.
Okay, what I'm saying to you is, the first and last time I listened to Afrika Bambaataa was a video that came on TV with him and James Brown in the 80s, and I haven't listened since. I just was turned off by him. And the little hats he wears reminds me of the little poor-ass old women that were complete sluts when they're young, and then they come to Jesus, and then they give everybody a hard time. He just reminds me of one of those asshole, repressed, hypocritical church mothers. Who thinks by being nasty to younger people, it expiates the bullshit she did when she was a hoe when she was young and enjoyed it too. That he sit up and cockblock all the young people. That's how he impressed me. I'm sorry. And the fact that he did some boys as well as girls. Well, that's what I got first time I saw him.
Right.
And so I've never owned anything of his, never listened. If I saw his name on something, I wouldn't buy it. I've never understood how people couldn't see him.
Yeah, I wasn't paying that much attention in those younger years,
I wasn't even paying attention. I just saw him. It's just people can't see that certain people carry evil spirits, evil auras. It's on them. And it was all over him that he was a vain, evil, narcissistic man.
Well,
I can remember where I was when I saw him. The song was called Unity. I didn't even hear the whole song. I turned it off. It was him and James Brown in it together. And I've never, ever seen anything since. And I love James Brown. That was one thing I swore I was never going to buy. It's the thing he did with this dude. Just saying.
Well, what do you know about what's going on now in the Manosphere, man? We're in the middle of listening to Jason Black destroy Jessica X, man. And I want your take on this topic. That's why I called you today. And I'll talk with you and Goddess Miriam, because I really feel like we need to put your intellectual power, especially Dr. Short, behind this topic of the colonized mind. So we're listening to Jessica, and I want to frame it up for those out there that don't know, but we're kind of to the point now. It's pleasantries right now, but Jason is asking her, did she call her a race hustler in the presence of Pearly things? Because see, when Pearly pulled up, it was a different story, right? When the white German lady pulled up, it was a different tone. And that's what Jason Black called her out for. So this is the clip of her calling in the Jason Black show and basically getting your talking to, like the white boy said. And you come get your talking to, you know what I mean? So yeah, this is her getting her talking to. I want to play a little bit more, and then I want to get your take on it, Dr. Short. I want to go right back to you. Once we get to a good part, because I know you got something to say on this. Let's go.
I don't think I did.
You don't think you did?
No.
But you're not sure that you didn't.
Hold on.
I want to go back.
I want to go back a few seconds. Let's go back a few seconds, okay? Here we go.
No, I don't think I did. I don't think I did.
There we go.
I'm confounded. Nigerian?
Yeah, I mean, you throw a penny in a crowd and you can find plenty of folk there who are willing to buck dance for her over there. She's had no problem getting people to work for her, people to join her in the studio, people to get on microphones. She's had no problem doing that.
I think not them for it, because a job is a job, you know?
Okay.
And
Jessica,
they think twice
now, just
about
to be sure here, are you sure you did not refer to me as a race hustler?
You know what? No, I don't think I did. I don't think I did.
You don't think you did?
No.
But you're not sure that you didn't?
I can't say for sure. I can't.
Yeah, that's very interesting. These individuals from these backstabbing cultures, honesty is something they grapple with. Would you like to take a little bit of time to think it over?
I literally can't say for sure.
Let's stop there. What is the definition of a backstabbing culture, in your opinion? What is that? Because a lot of people would peg us with being the backstabbing culture. Me personally, I'd have pulled up at too many barbecues with people I'm not even related to and got a plate. You know what I'm saying? So I don't really see us as backstabbers. I'm not trying to be cliche here. But Dr. Short, what is a backstabbing culture?
If you had to ask me about a backstabbing culture, I would look at cultures that were clan-based cultures that are centered around just clan. And so the loyalty is only to immediate blood or regional kin. And so everybody else is open game for abuse. Are you understanding me? I'll give you, I'm not trying to say all, but just take Somalis. I'm not saying all Somalis, but if you travel around, there's strong feelings about Somalis wherever they go. Just saying.
Yeah, they
or, or I could say certain types of Nigeria. There is a reputation where they go. Types of Lebanese, not all, but some, have a reputation where they go. Romani, or aka Gypsy people, have a reputation wherever they go.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that they're always treated well. Certain types of people who wear small hats and have their own unique holidays have a reputation wherever they go, where certain code or a concept of being chosen or exclusive and their attitude towards everyone else is devil may care. We could say that Anglos have a backstabbing culture. We could say Ukrainians have a backstabbing culture. I don't know if you're aware, but you could say that certain Latin Americans have backstabbing culture. Pakistanis are said to have a backstabbing culture, but these cultures oftentimes have strong concepts of group exclusivity and a strong sense of entitlement and a strong sense that it doesn't matter what I do to you if you're not in my group.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And we have backstabbers. We have the Boule. We do have persons. We have groups, entities, not the whole breadth and scope and scale of Black people's backstabbers. But you've got Lori Lightfoot. You got Karen Bass. You had, Keisha Lance Bottoms. You've got the mayor of D.C. You've got the mayor of New York. You have Lori Dykefoot. You've got the Congressional Black Caucus. You've got Teens and Tots, Congeal. You have your Black religious leadership. You have Black Masons. You have Black elected officials of either party. You have Black conservatives, pro-life, so-called Christian conservatives that constantly stab Black people in the back. You have Black business people. And you also have a Black criminal culture that will sell drugs and poison and murder the community. You have a pork chop feminism. You have a brother fucker culture among Black men. Certain Black men, it's like they can't hold up off of violating another Black man. If you ever worked a job and the Black man was always tearing you, cutting you to shreds for the hell of it, and everybody can see it and they keep doing it. It's not all of us, but we have strains of it. But I will certainly say to you that the whole slave trade in Africa was backstabbing.
Indeed.
I got something I want y'all to see, man. It's only about a minute. But I wanna know what you think about this dude right here.
Did I answer your question?
You did. You segued it perfectly because I knew you could lay it out to where we could all understand it with enough in-depth knowledge so we all understand that. We all have a backstabbing element in our cultures, but we're not a backstabbing culture. But
right.
I want you to look at this guy, especially when you started talking about jobs and Black people doing business with each other. But look at this guy. This guy has a huge amount of influence on YouTube, huge amount, over 200,000 subs, I think, if I'm not mistaken. But tell me what comes to mind when you see this. Let's go.
Most Black people that I've ever hired or most Black people that I interact with regard to business are lazy. Do something. Now what? You feeling some type of way about it? Most African immigrants that come over here and Nigerians outwork the Black people that are here in America. How you feel about it? How you feel about it? Guess what? Most white people here is lazy too. Most people that have adopted Western culture are lazy. And the ones that I've seen the most, because those are the ones that I've been surrounded by, have been black people. Lazy as hell. Now what? Now what? You want a cookie?
All right, that's a gentleman named Anton Daniels. What comes to your mind when you see this? This guy claims to be FBA.
No, he ain't.
I don't think he is either, personally. I get Ghanaian or something of that nature. But what do you think when that comes to?
Well, I get a sense of blowjobs, one. But that's
what you asked
me. Let's go. Okay. Because I'm just trying to think of a hardcore black American man that would wear a stupid-ass hat looking like that, talking about the work habits of black Americans writ large. So I'm just the hat. That's like Afro-Bambaataa's church mother hat with the ankh on it. I couldn't get past the hat.
Yeah.
And his voice sounds moist enough to be, you know, the Everglades. So he.
Hold on.
You want a cookie?
Well, or maybe he wanted to say nookie, and not the kind he wants to give us.
But a biscuit crumb.
Hey,
yeah, well, yeah. I'm gonna go somewhere else.
Go ahead.
And if he is a black American, his folks are from the deep south, Louisiana, something like that. And I'm gonna go here, and I'm not saying this to dark people, but a lot of the uber black conservative type people are very, 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 very dark in complexion persons. And I don't know if they heard a whole bunch of blacky jokes coming up, and they've been messed over so much for being dark-skinned until they have smoke for the entire black race because they're hurt. It's the same way Clarence Thomas's nickname in Yale was ABC for America's Blackest Child.
Wow.
And so when you get black folks like him who probably reject because he's black and girls didn't want babies to look like a used Brillo pad, they have a lot of anger.
A lot of anger built up.
I think black is beautiful, but he actually feels that he's ugly. And yeah. It comes across in how he communicates. And he's hiding behind the shades. I can take my shades off and you can look me in the eye. What you see is what you get. And you need a white woman over your shoulder like a Luciferian halo that you have some backup. But I've seen, even here in our very color-struck city of Washington, D.C., and it's a trend I've seen that black people, sometimes the meanest, nastiest black people, not all, but some who in positions of security, business, or military, are very dark-skinned black folks, and they're mean to all the other black people. Trust me, I don't like to look like this because I hate colorism. But I have found even the one that Captain Joseph, the ugly little short dark-skinned dude, was the one that hated Malcolm, that you have a kind of black person who's very dark-skinned, and they hate all of us because they're not lighter skinned. They don't have a certain type of hair. And they get their dollars off. They bust nuts being nasty to everybody black instead of recognizing there's some people that may treat you less than. But it's not all of us, you know? And I'm speaking to this because it's really bad here in Washington. When my dad was in high school, he took one of the standardized test, and he did so well. People objected. They said he's too to be that smart. And my father was forced to take the test with people standing over him to make certain that he didn't cheat. And when he passed, they basically declared him a freak. But when he was in the honor society at his school, they had to wear light skin makeup as to not offend the teachers or the students that anyone black was that smart. So we have people damaged by colorism, and it plays out. And there's colorism from the Caribbean. There's colorism all over Africa where these people burn their skin out. I'm so happy. Last week, a friend of mine in Uganda that's been bleaching his skin for a year first of all, told me they had become a Christian, and I asked them, now that you have Jesus, do you still need bleach? And he said, nope, I don't need bleach, so he's no longer bleaching his skin. But Africans poison themselves almost to the point of death. In Jamaica, there were people dying from skin lightening creams.
Yeah,
you know, they say,
and this is so,
they say
so
Queen Elizabeth died from that. The Queen Elizabeth the First died from trying to put white powder on white makeup on her skin as well.
Well, she was involved in the slave trade. She didn't die fast enough.
Facts.
Okay, so I'd get her some Ambi cream just for general principle. Look.
Facts.
So if he is an FBA, he is a person who's ashamed of being dark-skinned. By the way, he doesn't look like he's in the best of shape, so it's not like he's one of those athletic, big-dick, dark-skinned dudes that sisters love. So he's a clumpy, chunky, bald-figured brother, you know, nerf ball, the dolphin. And basically, nobody wants to be laid up next to him, except for maybe a white girl, you know, she's got fewer teeth than snake eyes on dice.
Right.
And they'll give him a lighter skinned kid with the hair that she can't comb, and he'll shut the hell up and leave us alone. So we have a lot of people who hate themselves, and I'll go further to say that a lot of the people in the manosphere have what I call pussy envy. They have pussy envy. They wish they had a pussy because they can't get with women and they can't have any buddies either. If they had a pussy, at least they could have some buddies to hang around them.
Right, right.
A lot of folks in the manosphere are trying to find a man because, how could you hate the passport brothers if you really say there's an issue with sisters here? You're mad that somebody goes to another country to meet people, so a man pursuing pussy bothers you? You don't see that as psychiatrically intriguing? Why are you trying to cock block a man trying to find a woman unless you want him yourself?
Mm.
I think they're afraid that these black men will go overseas and find women or whatever and be happy, and then Negroes won't even need them for down-low depreciating homoerotic side pieces.
Wow.
I said it just like that.
Hey, the world class says he's built like a fistful of mashed potatoes.
Yeah. So, and the white woman who looks like, what does she look like? Help me, Lord. No. She looks like Peppermint Patty with the chemical peel. Remember Peanuts? I could always call Charlie Brown sir.
Yeah,
maybe she wants to be called sir. Because she's not that pretty as a white female. Although I know a lot of black men. If you're not black, they think you're pretty. They would think a snowman is fuckable as long as it's not black.
Wow. Hey, so I got this little film called When Pearly Pulls Up. When Pearly Pulls Up. This is what I think of when I think of when I see
Pearly. We should call her Whitey instead of Pearly.
Hey,
Pearls are too pretty to be associated with her.
Six
to
God is called
right
a pasty, but it's
pasty.
Pearly things look like a masculine Axl Rose.
Well, actually,
get your shit and get the fuck out of my office. You understand?
Get the fuck out.
That's
well,
what
you
Pearly
know
looked like.
Pearly looks like the person that shot up that school in Tennessee, except their hair is red.
Ooh.
Anyway, but I'll tell you, I've seen black men. They put their penis in a killer beehive if the hole was big enough. So we have a lot of men who are not selective. They're basically whores with dicks.
Thanks.
And they throw feet everywhere like it's dandelion. It's ridiculous. Or milkweed. And we need to really start saying, in other cultures, certain people won't breed with others. We're the only people that would, I mean, we would fuck the water sprinkler on the lawn if it would stay still.
You know, somebody used to say that.
And it's ridiculous. And I'm not knocking love. You know, I heard you and your wife talking, and I've never seen your wife. I don't know your wife's name. I've never asked you. And just the way you guys interacted, I felt sex all through the phone. It's like, damn.
Yeah, yeah.
So I can tell, I can feel intimacy between people and not see anything. They just hear the Bible. I told Miriam, damn, they're going to do something. I mean, she's like, damn, where's my saran wrap? You didn't tell me you were coming home. Real men and real women are happy. Miserable men and miserable women are unhappy. So that dude is what I call, he's a faggotist, or he's some kind of a simp. And, you know, I dealt with the manosphere. I mean, I kind of, look, everybody knows I hate pork chop feminism, but I love women. Real women, oh, my God. This sister here, she's not my girlfriend, but we can just chill and hang out. And I can just vibe off of this woman, man, for hours.
Indeed.
Hours. And it just feels good. And my friend she met, she's older than me by 15 years. And I just hang with her and just lean and get all the love coming out. It's not even about humping on them. Just when you meet good black women, in particular, I'm going to put in that order, my preference is black women. Then there are other women like, but if you meet good women, you don't even have to try to screw them. You could just have them in your life. I have a friend and a family member. And I always wonder how I make it. And he says, you have so many women friends. I didn't know that. I says, I have lots of women friends. I can't talk to everybody. I mean, I may not be married, but just you need this one lady I talked to. It's like a marathon sexathon, just talking to her for a couple of hours because of how she and I vibe. It feels good. I love my buddies. It's just not the same when I talk to a woman I'm close to than a man I talk to. Do you get where I'm coming from?
I'm with you. I'm with you.
And any black man that has never found a black woman that he can be intimate in terms of his spirit, his feelings, his heart, fucking loser, he should never go to Las Vegas because they'll sell his ass into slavery to pay off his debt. Need to know, you need to have loved and cared about somebody, black and female, in your life. And a lot of these dudes hate their mom. They hate their grandmother. Maybe their mom pimped them out for her to get crack and didn't give them infant formula, so they're hungry and they suck all the nut out somebody. Yeah, that's what some of these niggas are on. I don't care. With the father and the mother. These niggas who are butthurt that their moms were crack holes and pedophile pimps of their own kids and their grandmamas too. And so they have a thing against women. You should be angry with your grandmother and your mother, but not all black women. Sister Miriam's done nothing but love on me. It's crazy. Today she sent me some money. I didn't ask her for no money. I need it. I'm going to put it in my bank account, but it's just her. She knows where to have the – I love fried rice. This lady introduced me to duck fried rice. I've had fried rice about 5 times since I came home, and it does not equal the fried rice. They didn't give me a full box of cheap-ass Chinese. That was the best fried rice I've had. And this is literally, I told her what I wanted, some fried rice. She says, I'm going to show you. And then she said, duck fried rice. She says, I love ducks, but I will eat a damn duck, too. I used to feed the ducks in Tennessee and feed the ducks. I lived in Boston. I love ducks, but I'll eat it. It was just good. We just go around, just go in the library, meet the fake-ass people in East St. Louis, and just chill. We went to the Chinese place, a little fake-ass nigga that wanted to throw his ugly sister off on me, and she was able to protect me. It's like, you know. And why can't we be happy with and for each other as black people? And when I was in the manosphere listening, I felt a lot of people just full of hate. I don't hate black women. I hate toxic femininity. I'm not toxic. Yes, toxic femininity and toxic feminism destroying the character of black women because I never went through a phase as a boy where I didn't like girls. There's a woman named Charlene Davis. The first time I saw her was in 1969, right after I first started talking at 4 and a half. I didn't start talking until I was 4 and a half. And I saw this woman. She was very dark, very pretty. She still looks good. And the first thing I says is, "You're beautiful. I love you." I was 4. Right. That woman was fine. I didn't care. I went up and said, "You're beautiful." I was touching her. She had to pull her hand back because this boy is moving.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because, but she's black. I'm the same way. I like women very dark. She's dark, pretty, nice features, nice attitude. I adore her. I still remember the first time I saw her. I mean, I almost had like a mini heart attack. That she was so pretty and so feminine.
Hey, they used to call that manny.
These guys don't, they've never, you know, Aretha Franklin has a song, you know. I love you. They've never, ever loved a black woman, ever.
Hey, well,
and as a result, all they have, they're just like the little girl who got raped at the pool hall when she was 14 and has been angry with all the black men for forever. No black man can be any good because these guys have been taken mentally and spiritually and they haven't gotten themselves well. And not only do they hate women, they hate black men too. And that's why they don't like the Passport Brothers and they don't like black men that have found black women that they're happy with the United States.
Don't like
they don't want anybody to be happy because they're toxic,
bitter
male bitches.
Hey, hold that thought. Hold that thought, man. We got
a male bitch.
We got Chaotic Truth in the building. Chaotic Truth, you finally come over to the big mic drop. What's up, man?
What's going on, man?
Man, nothing much. How you doing?
Hey, man, I'm an American, man, so I'm doing awesome.
Hey, good, brother. Good. Good to have you.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's on your mind, man? What's on your mind? What you thinking?
Saw that you were live. Never came over here before. I wanted to come over and just chop it up. I saw your title said A Colonized Mind. I don't know what you guys are talking about per se with this. But I also wanted to ask you, my good sir, have you heard about the business with Just Pearly thing?
Yes, yes. So that's what we were talking about.
Ooh.
It's opened up a broader conversation.
Yeah.
So I'm glad you're here to represent the Manosphere as well as the non-FBA side, man. So, brother, I appreciate you for coming over. Yep. I tried to get you over one more time, but you ain't bite.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, you know, I don't represent the Manosphere nor non-FBA. I represent being an American.
Okay.
And, you know, I did a live stream on Just Pearly Things, Big Mike, and I have to say this, man. I've said it years ago, I've said it today, and I'll say it tomorrow. When God made the white man, he broke the mold. I mean, when he made the white woman, he broke the mold. The white woman is the salt of the earth, and she should be protected at all costs, if you ask me. Now, hear me out for a minute.
All right. Let me hear you out. You're trolling, though. Let me hear you out. Go ahead.
You said I'm frozen?
I said you trolling, but go ahead.
I'm not trolling you, and you know that I'm not.
You got brain damage.
All right, let him talk. Go ahead, Chaotic.
See, now you didn't have to offend
go,
me.
Go ahead, Chaotic. Go ahead.
Now, what I'm saying is that I've been saying the same thing since I've been in college. You know, one of my degrees, I have a lot of underwater basket weaving degrees, and one of them is African studies. And I said this 20 years ago. I said this 10 years ago. I've said that it's possible that slavery could be over-exaggerated. It's possible that learning about slavery through movies like Roots, 12 Years a Slave, keeps you mentally enslaved, and it perpetuates a victim mindset.
Let me cut in real quick before I forget. I don't want to cut you off, but I got to ask.
Go ahead, sir.
What if people didn't learn about slavery through any of those mediums? What if this was a story that was passed down from your grandparents and great grandparents?
Well, that is exactly what has happened. It's not even that's a good question. That is exactly what happened. The game of telephone. You can tell somebody something, and then by the time it gets to the fifth person, it's a totally different story. The beauty of your question and the beauty of what Just Pearly Things said was it allows people to ask questions instead of talking from an emotional standpoint. I've asked the question, how is it possible that the white man went into the interior of Africa with all these foreign diseases, these foreign these exotic animals? How did he take these people? What did these people eat when they were on the slave boat, supposedly? What did they drink? They didn't drink the salt water. So you got to ask these. So when I was a kid, you know, they lied to us and said that hundreds of black people were just on these boats. But then when I was the only kid in class that said, wait a minute, if hundreds of people were on these boats, it took 6 or 7 weeks to get to the islands and then to the states themselves or the colonies, then what did these people eat for 6 weeks on that boat? Where did they defecate at? Where did they urinate at? See, I understand where Jess Pearly Things is coming from. She is just asking questions. And I don't think there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not denying that slavery happened. Slavery has been a part of human history. Slavery right now is going on in China right now. Nobody talked about the Uyghurs in China. Nobody's talking about the children in Congo who are working, who are artisan miners, who are working for damn near nothing for cocaine so that we can use our phones. Nobody's talking about that. But see, we want to give imaginative stories about the past. And, give me a second, ma'am. And we want to give imaginative stories about a past that we don't know about. And that's why I love that beautiful white woman did the other day. And I love the fact that she had Nick Fuentes on the show. If Nick Fuentes does not believe in interracial marriage or racial mixing, then I don't believe in it neither. And I, on my channel, with all the white people who follow me, have said, we have to start being truthful. We generally want I don't have any daughters, Big Mike, but truth be told, if I had a daughter, I'm not going to lie to you, I would prefer her to bring home a black dude. And most black men are like that. And why do I care if a white man say it? And I feel like a lot of white boys should start being real. Hey, I don't want my daughter to bring home no black dude. Flat out. And that's what I love about that whole Nick Fuentes interview. Go ahead, Big Mike.
Hey, go ahead. Well, I think Goddess Miriam wanted to interject with some things you said. So go ahead, Goddess.
I have a number to interject.
Go ahead.
One question at a time, by the way.
Yeah, go ahead.
Number one, all the worshiping, will it back a little bit. How could you take seriously, even if it was something that you was doing with critical thinking? This lady comes from a place of white supremacy. So already your knowledge and what you believe and the words you hold gospel out of her mouth is already tainted from the gate. For someone to sit up there and say that someone's experience, chronologically written down and can be traced, say that it wasn't, it's an over-exaggeration. And then to have melanated people to agree with her. But I do understand that because people have their own mindsets, especially those who are still being colonized right now, and they bring that colonized mindset over here. We have a different mindset, being a foundational Black American. Because we're the only one who's been playing chess with white supremacy and who have actually gotten things done and have moved the needle, not only of the United States of America, but globally to help others spark their revolution and some type of freedom and to think to get from under the tyranny of colonization. It is really, really interesting, so to speak, when I hear someone come on and do all the, you know, the worshiping.
Can I respond to you now?
And the driving.
Yeah, can I respond to you?
Go ahead and respond.
Okay, first of all, Goddess Miriam, let's assume white supremacy does exist. You are basking in the glory of it right now. I bet you can't open your door and I will see an African street in any beautiful African city. I bet you can't open your door and show me any black made car. I bet you can't turn off your cell phone that is made by the very same system that you're talking about. You are supporting white supremacy right now, assuming that it exists. Ma'am, you haven't started any revolutions, madam. You haven't.
You sound very ignorant.
Madam, you don't have an African-made car. You don't have an African-made phone. You live in America. You don't speak.
I sure hell do. This is my country.
Yeah. You don't speak Europe.
My ancestors built it. Yes.
Your ancestors picked cotton. Chaotic. Hold on.
Let me break it up for one moment. Chaotic. You're Nigerian American.
I'm an American, sir. I don't consider
myself. You ain't no American.
Big Mike, this is my first time over here on your live stream. I think you have a great setup. Can I answer this woman, please? Absolutely. This woman is crying about white supremacy. All I'm saying is, assuming that
denial and delusion,
ma'am,
your assuming, white man taught you denying neglect.
Big Mike, can I talk? Assuming
you
that
are talking with your high voice. I bet you I have.
Go ahead. Let him complete his thought, Goddess. Go ahead, Chaotic.
Assuming that there is white supremacy, ma'am, you are contributing to it because of many factors. What are the factors? What are the evidence? I bet you don't speak any African language. I bet you don't even
I'm
speak
not
any...
African, so I don't suppose to.
Okay, well, you're well.
I'm
well,
not
why not? Why not learn?
I can't believe it.
Come on, Chaotic. Come on, you know how it goes. You know how it goes.
You don't speak any African language. You don't even speak any derivative of any slave language.
How the hell you know?
Like Gullah.
You don't speak.
You're not speaking Gullah. You're not speaking Pidgin. You're not speaking Patois.
You don't know what I can.
Ma'am,
but.
But
in all due respect, we speak English, and English and English is our language.
Exactly. English is our language,
and I challenge you, go try to read the Magna Carta and tell me if you recognize any of those words. That language came from here. That language came from here.
I would love to speak. I mean, you guys have been up here talking.
I would love to give my opinion.
Hey. Lady, if it wasn't for colonization, you'd be in a mud hut with a plate in your mouth in a hut somewhere.
Colonization civilized the African. Everybody don't come from
colonization Africa. Civilized the African, ma'am.
Colonization civilized the African, ma'am.
It was a surplus.
It may have civilized your
It was a net. It was a net positive for you. You didn't have your own culture.
Bow down to
no,
your white mammy who. You,
my mammy
your
is
name
black.
Of your country, okay?
My mammy's black,
of,
ma'am.
Of yours.
My
okay.
mammy
hey,
is black.
Hey, look.
Madam.
Hey, look. Let's break the monotony for a minute. Let's break it up for a minute. Let's go ahead and finish the Jessica X video, okay? Let's finish Jason Black talking to Jessica X. I think it was a complete shellacking, but I'm glad we have somebody that represents the other side on here. I'm glad we have somebody on here. Don't get upset. It's okay. This is him. Look, we've done this back and forth with each other for a few months now, so I'm actually glad to have all of y'all up here. Dr. Short dropped off, but maybe he'll be back. Maybe perhaps it was some kind of thing, or maybe he just, you know, got tired of listening to Chaotic.
Very busy, man.
But we don't know. Let's take a look at Jessica X talking with Jason Black, and let's finish up. And then we'll go back at it in a minute, I promise.
I can't say for sure.
Oh, so you're not certain. So what part of me strikes you as a race hustler then? Well, what do you define as a race hustler?
A race hustler would be someone who plays on racial issues in order to progress themselves.
Okay, and how do I play on racial issues to progress myself?
You know what, I will say this. One thing I do remember speaking about in the stream is that there were certain things that Pearly said and you added words to it that weren't there. So that I did speak on.
I added context, but I did not add anything that wasn't there. She meant what she said. She was not referring to white people. And the fact that it's corroborated that when she talked about being late, Nick Fuentes was the one who said he's Italian and he's late. She was the one who interjected blackness in lateness, where even Nick didn't do that. That constitutes a train of thought.
All right, we got DJ ZTE in the building. Chaotic. Chaotic.
Real quick.
Chaotic. Let DJ ZTE come in. I'm introducing him.
Yep.
He got something for you. I'm sure he got something for you. So he's going to have a chance. DJ ZTE, what's popping with you, homie?
What it is, Big Mike.
Man, coolin', man. Coolin'. Glad to have you on, man. Glad to have you on. Chaotic that came through and shook up the panel today. So we you know, what you got?
He ain't shake nothing up.
Exactly. It's like, do you really expect all this Africa Bambaataa bullshit to blow over, bro? Like, do you know about the 7-year war and the Anglo-Moroccan treaty between Elizabeth and Abdul al-Suleiman? Do you know who you are and what you are? Really? Do you know what Africa was called before the 1700s rush to Africa and colonization of it?
Exactly.
I'm waiting for my turn to talk. Is that all right? Which one do you want me to answer, sir? I don't care what
I don't need an answer.
Well, you're asking a question.
I'm asking rhetorical questions.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll go on mute then. I'll go on mute and wait for you to get...
Like, ultimately, the objective is for everyone to look this stuff up themselves. World War I was a 7-year war. It was a global conflict of colonization, starting with the Canary Islands and the people that Queen Elizabeth and Suleiman shipped from their own nations to be slaves on sugar plantations. This is just a continuation of the same colonial corporatization. There's nothing new under the sun.
That's a fact. I mean, look, and like we talked about last night, you come at it from a anthropological standpoint, which is definitely necessary. Chaotic, I know.
Exactly.
I know a lot of what Chaotic is doing is trolling. Chaotic knows that this shit is the truth.
He knows this shit is the truth. I'm not trolling.
Hey,
Big Mike, I'm not trolling. I'm being honest with you. I come from the Malefi Asante tree. I have a degree. I have multiple degrees, but one of them is in African studies. And I've always said that I don't believe in a lot of that cultist horse shit that is being taught in many of these African studies courses at the collegiate level. I don't believe in it. I believe that there's more to it. And what I'm saying is, and I challenge DJ and I challenge Goddess, if you guys really believe in black supremacy, if you really believe that black people are these great people, then why not live amongst an entire populace of black people in the 56, one of the many 56 or 60 black nation states? You got Guyana in South America. You got damn near all the African countries. You got Papua New Guinea. Why don't you go there and
Simple,
live among
because I'm from here and you're from there. And why
well, I'm
would
from
I
here,
move
sir.
To your
No, my parents,
mind.
I was born here, sir. I was born here in 1984. I don't know what you're talking
Anglo,
about.
You're a native. You're
I was born in America in 1984, so I'm
you,
American.
But do you hear what he, but you hear what he said, Chaotic? You hear what he said.
Somebody born in a land owing their citizenship to their birth.
I'm an American.
You are not a
first American.
I'm an American,
different.
Sir.
You, well,
I'm an American.
Of course you are, because American is Pan-American.
Because here goes the thing.
It's a religion just like Pan-Africanism.
Here goes the thing, sir. Okay, I'll go on.
Of course, all people can come here and call themselves American. They're no longer supposedly Irish or Italian or any of that. No, they just come here and they become white in their home country where they send their money back. So, I mean, bro, this is...
How about this, DJ? We can agree
this
to disagree.
This isn't the biblical 21st century.
We can agree
I'm not
to
a biblically babbling
sir.
Spoon.
We can agree to disagree, my good man. You believe whatever you believe. I believe what
no,
I believe.
Matter
I'm,
you
just,
believe.
I'm just coming over
your
here to talk to Big
Mike. Hey, I got a question.
We can believe,
may
we
I
can agree
that?
To disagree.
I got a question for you, Chaotic.
Hopefully I can answer without being interrupted, Big Mike.
Yeah, you're gonna be able to answer the question.
Okay, go ahead.
But let me ask you a question, man. Like,
go ahead, Big Mike.
Like, if you're if you let's just say, for instance, you are an American, okay? I'm going to take you at face value of what you said.
Yes,
what is it about American history that you disagree with? Why such the pushback? Why are you, like, you're pretty much on the wrong side of the history right now. What's happened here is going to be paid for. So why would you take that side of the dominant society?
Are you ready now for my answer?
Yeah, go ahead.
There's nothing that I disagree with, because everything that since the foundation of this country, people from all around the planet have come here and have enriched themselves.
Haven't.
Okay, Big Mike, am I going to be allowed to answer the question, or I'm going to get cut off every time I give you an answer?
You're finishing it.
Big Mike, can I talk without her interrupting me, please?
She's not cutting
I'm
you off. And look, I'll put this. I don't use the mute button on here. So that this is part of how it rolls. Go ahead.
Big Mike, to answer your question, what is the evidence of this? Well, one of the evidence is this. Look at our GDP. Our GDP is number one. It's been number one for decades. Our military is the greatest military on the planet. What is the evidence of this? Well, maybe one of the evidence of it is that we've never really been invaded by any other people on the planet. Okay.
Did any of your parents serve in the military? Hold on. Let me interject. Did any of your parents serve in the military or grandparents?
Again, sir, I have family members right now who are currently in the military right now.
I ain't talking about
cousins.
I'm talking about parents.
No, my parents.
My mother was an officer.
Okay.
My grandfather served in the military.
Okay.
So that's why I'm mad.
Thank you. And what I'm saying is this. Everything that America has done, Goddess Miriam, DJ, you, we're all basking in the glory of it. None of us right now will move to any other country in defiance. Slavery, if you ask me, was a good thing. What it did was it allowed the Black American, the Ados, to become the wealthiest African within the African. Okay, that's your opinion. Within the African diaspora. You blacks, you are spreading this information. I'm going to go on mute.
The foolishness that comes out of your mouth. Now, listen to a foundational Black American whose ancestry goes back past slavery, okay? Since you want to say that, we're all American. No, you're just new to this soil. You and your parents, okay? First and foremost. You all are always trying to belittle and downgrade our history. Why? Because y'all come here and assimilate into white supremacy. That's why I say y'all mindsets will never match ours, because we've been through the colonization past over 250 years ago. So we have our own minds and we know how to move, and we play chess and we move at the same speed of your zaddy that you like to worship and your white mommy that you like to worship. And the reason why I say this, I'm not trying to offend you, but it is just asinine for you to sit up there and still come out of your mouth. And anyway, it used to be Black American Studies, which was co-opted by so many of when we start allowing integration in 1965, which my ancestors fought for to get some of your ancestors over here. Got co-opted and turned into African Studies.
In 1974, yes, ma'am.
They diluted and effed over the information. That's why we're dealing with critical race theory now. You have white supremacists trying to erase our history and with the bullshit, which is a theory that is theoretically. So it's coming from all sides. This is why we say we gatekeeping, we're delineating, because we have no allies. Y'all come here.
All right, don't do that.
The rights we had to fight for, and all of that with a disrespectful ass.
Don't do that, Cam.
Okay, can I talk now, Big Mike? I let her talk.
Look at how violent she is.
She said that she would physically attack me. You just say that you would slap the jaw off right out my mouth, ma'am. Look at how violent it took. Look at the typical Black American.
Get a back
on the white. Hey, you're right. She's proving my point.
Because
typical Black American. typical black American.
Typical black American.
Silence!
Silence!
We're going to listen to Jessica X, and then we're going back for another round. Chaotic?
Okay.
Chaotic? Look.
I'm here.
We're about intellectual honesty here.
Indeed.
And you're an educator. I know a little bit about you. So I'm looking for a little intellectual honesty after this next one.
You won't even cam up, DJ.
Hey, look. I'm looking for a little intellectual honesty because, honestly, man, I'm going to tell you the truth. And I'm going to tell y'all a quick story. When I was young, one of the most influential people in my life was a guy that my mother went to school with that she was friends with. I think she may have dated him. I don't know. I can't confirm that, right? But she was in college when she had me. And it was a guy named Banuk. Banuk was from Nigeria. Banuk used to, pick me up from school. I used to be able to stay over at Banuk's house over the weekends and do dude shit. You know what I'm saying? He took me out, did things like that. Banuk was a good guy. My roommate in the Air Force was a man named Richard Iwazulu. And plus, I went to school with all type of Nigerian kids from Malawi, Nigeria, places like that. I never knew that they had any ill feelings or ill will toward us. I never knew this throughout this whole time because that's just typically not been my experience until I got on YouTube. So, Chaotic, after we listen to this, really, man, come in with us.
Before you play it real quick, I got to ask you a question, Big Mike. Are you from the Midwest?
Nah, man, I'm from Mobile, Alabama, the place where the last slave ship came to.
You just said something, but you said like a euphemism that's used up in the Midwest. But never mind. Okay.
What euphemism I use?
Dude, shit. I've only heard that in the Midwest. I never heard anybody from the South or West Coast say that.
I grew up in California for some years, and then we moved back to the South. My mom was in the Air Force. But let's keep going, and I want to get through all of this because I think it's going to prove a point. It's going to frame up the perfect conversation, man. This is going to be quintessential content right here on YouTube. So welcome. You're on the Big Mike Drop. We got a show. We've lost Dr. Short. I don't know. Dr. Short has thin patience for things like this. So, Chaotic, you done ran Dr. Short out the building. But let's keep going, okay? Let's go. This is Jessica X and Jason Black.
So these are a bunch of tropes and stereotypes that run in conjunction with each other. You're trying to sit up here and say that they don't? You start.
No, in regards to...
I hear the little pitter-patter of tap dancing shoes going on.
In regards to the being late, yeah, she specified black people, right? But when she was talking about the immigrants and the hard workers versus non-hard workers, she just said Americans. Versus the Africans that she worked
Yeah,
in.
Thank you, but she's referring to Africans. That's
but she didn't
the
say
point.
That.
She was already making it a racial thing. And then, are you saying that was disconnected from everything else she said later? That sounds irrational. That's a person really trying to reach to disconnect it because they're trying to minimize her racial attitude. Oh, well, about the folks there, because what you're trying to do here, you're a little sensitive about it, because they have this myth they try to create among the immigrants that they're harder working, but the hardworking people don't have to flee. Hardworking people stay where they are and build where they are, even against an animosity government. So they have a myth they keep trying to build and perpetuate. But no, ma'am, she meant what she said, and that's why when it came back to that later, it was racialized. Nick Fuentes literally sat there and said, oh, well, they certainly work. They're certainly harder working than black Americans are. Now, if she didn't mean it that way, if she wasn't referring to black people, why didn't she push back or clarify on that when he said that?
No, and after he said that, they both started giggling with each other.
Okay, but
I asked a different question.
I asked if she wasn't referring to black people the first time, why didn't she push back against him when he specifically cited, oh, well, these black folk are harder working than those black folk? Why didn't she sit there and say, oh, no, 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 that's not right?
Because she didn't disagree. She didn't push back on anything.
Thank
she
you.
Said.
Thank you. She didn't. And at no time did they refer to white Americans. Now, I can show you where they specifically referred to black Americans. Not one place can you show me where they referred to white Americans in a negative.
No, that's
okay, so when you sit up here and try to do this dishonesty of saying this, oh, well, you know, she didn't say erase the first time. That's you trying to cover for white mommy.
No, I'm just reacting as I go, right? So I'm listening to the clip. I'm reacting as I go. So I'm like, okay,
I don't know why everybody wants to tell that lie. Everybody wants to tell the same lie that they just heard.
All right. So for those who watched the Pearly Things interview with Nick Fuentes, then you're familiar with that exchange that they had about African immigrants outworking black Americans. Now, I make the point that Pearly Things and Nick Fuentes are both American. So if they weren't talking about black Americans, then she would have said African immigrants work harder than us, because they would include themselves in being American. But they didn't, which is, we're a little bit more advanced, and I'm not trying to be mean, but we're a little bit more advanced in this colonialism thing than people from the continent. So we can understand and recognize, hold on. We can recognize the dog whistles. We hear the dog whistles. We know what the dog whistles are. We understand the code language. Go ahead.
Okay, so let's be honest here, right? There is a running joke within particularly the black American community about CP time. That is a running stereotypical joke. But the evidence is not there, right? The black American is the wealthiest American. There are 1 million black Americans who have a net worth over $1 million. So when these things are said about time in comparison to Africans, I don't think that black Americans should be upset, because the proof isn't there. The average African is dirt poor. How do we know this? Well, all you have to do is look at the GDP of most African countries. Some African countries literally are in the damn Stone Age. For example, Niger is one of them. Lesotho. It's so many of these countries where there is the unemployment rate is super high. There is no industry. So I don't understand why black Americans, who are the superior blacks, are even upset about a joke from this stupid little 23-year-old Italian boy at all. Now, to me, it's funny because black people have made jokes about being late. Hell, I've made jokes about being late my damn self. And we know that black people, we don't go to events, right, if it started at 9 o'clock. We'll go at 10 because we know that the host, the DJs, respectfully, they ain't going to be there at 10 o'clock anyway. And that's fine. It's a cultural nuance. But I don't understand the anger behind it. Black Americans are way more hardworking than almost every other African or any other African or black in a diaspora. Because all you got to do is look at the GDP in America. Look at where blacks are positioned in America. The most powerful black people are in America. I know you may have African presidents, but those countries are pretty much shitholes. You have literally blacks in this country who are CEOs, CFOs, and C-suite executives of Fortune 500 companies that are worth more money than the GDP of most African countries. You have blacks in this country who have started, my fraternity brother, Robert Smith, he's worth $8 billion because he started his own equities firm. He's worth more money than most Eastern European countries' GDP.
Exactly.
So the idea that people will get angry about this stupid joke, it doesn't make any sense to me. Now, this is what I believe. Now, black people, we make jokes about other groups of people in their nuances, too. So to be fair, I think that, listen, we should look at Nick Fuentes as a 23-year-old troll kid, et cetera. So that's my take on it.
Well, Nick Fuentes is organized an event that got somebody killed. So I don't think we should look at Nick Fuentes as a joke or a child. That whole Charlottesville, Virginia shit, Nick Fuentes was right up in the middle of that. He's a superstar amongst our enemies. I'll say that. And when I say our enemies, I'm not talking about white people. I'm talking about people that espouse the philosophy of white supremacy, which is not exclusive to just white people. It's a lot of black people that are white supremacists as well throughout the diaspora. So, you know, but I would push back on you on that. I'm not going to push back on you on what you said about us being the hardest working black people on the planet, because it is true. But thing about it is we have a thing here culturally where we don't use our inside voice with outside people.
Exactly.
So pearly things can't come say nothing about that.
Exactly.
You know, you can sit up in the UK and talk about black Americans, but you notice our ass ain't over here with a bunch of black Americans in her studio talking about black Americans. That shit is going to go over like a turd in a punch bowl. And it's evident right now in her life, because she's under the heat. She's feeling the pressure. And regardless of how many people that try to jump in the way and barricade her from these shots, she catching these shots right now.
Okay, if I may,
go ahead.
Address what he said. You say you don't understand the anger. And again, like you said, it's a cultural thing, because we know how white supremacy sneaks up. It comes in the form of a damn joke, and then it ends with someone's life. So it's not a laughing matter. They do not get a pass because of our tremendous history that we have had with them. And they do it. See, white supremacy likes to they like to tell a joke and somewhat you alone as the ass or the butt of the joke. See, that's what you all don't get. Y'all don't get that. So we overstand where they come from when they do things like that. And you would never have a Jewish person invite a Nazi at their dinner table. So why the hell should we invite white supremacy at ours? That doesn't make sense.
They are our sworn enemy. Yes.
Can I give her a rebuttal?
It's not like we're depicting it and making them our enemy. They have declared war, and that's how it is. And just because America is rich and people can live and do their thing in it, do not mean that we do not have the social ills that are here. Because unlike others, we have to worry about our children or our men or our sisters or brothers making it if they're of it by the long arm of the so-called law, who is only an extension of slave catchers. They are there to protect property. And then people second, but they protect their own. And then we have other cultures who come in and who assimilate into that same mindset. And instead of being allies, they actually come in pushing white supremacy, because why? They assimilated into that. And they have colonized, that's what we mean by colonized, work, you know, mindset. And you're not stupid to that. You're well aware of that. But it's like
a cheap
thing that y'all, well, if you're not, you live in America. I don't see how you're not. But then again,
I'm not.
You're not a black American. That's the problem. You're not.
Okay.
You're a Nigerian American. You are not a black American. You are not a foundational black American, brother.
I'll agree with you.
It's true.
Can I respond real quick? I'll agree with you on that. First off, Howard Stern, a Jew, invited Daniel Carver on his show dozens of times. And Daniel Carver was a high-ranking member of the Ku Klux Klan. You go, look,
Howard
give me a second. I'm just going by what you said. You said there's no Jew. Okay, give me another second. Jerry Springer, back in the 90s, invited neo-Nazis and KKK members on his show to interview them all the time. Now, your second point. Maybe if
it's
these black people... Okay. Okay. Maybe if black
Jews are made up.
Maybe if black people would. Maybe if these black Jews,
original Jews are black.
Let me go to your second part. The reason why black people are in the system per se is because they're criminals. They commit crimes. George Floyd was high as a goddamn kite.
Criminal.
Rodney King was a career criminal. Just like George Floyd, and he was committing a crime.
Tamir Rice was a criminal.
Tamir Rice was walking around a public park pointing a gun, a fake gun at people.
Negro, I play gun like
whether it was a
how the
do.
Fuck you are not going to justify that.
Would they know it was
you
a fake gun, lady?
Lady,
how
would
they know it was a fake gun? It wasn't an orange gun.
Y'all are so damn delusional and so far from the white man's ass that you do not get it.
Ma'am. It was not an orange cap gun, ma'am, like how I played when
I
was a kid.
Sandra Bland
he was walking
too.
Around a
Come on,
park, ma'am.
Keep on. It's
ma'am.
Thousands
what?
That I can
ma'am.
Name.
Ma'am.
I got a question
still, Rush.
Who gives
ma'am.
A damn?
Ma'am.
That does not
ma'am.
Mean their life
can
should
talk?
Be taken.
Hold on.
And black people are not criminals. You are
ma'am,
not going to do
most blacks are criminals, ma'am. I was a probation officer, ma'am. Do you want me to name where I was a probation officer, ma'am?
I can understand your mindset.
I was a probation, ma'am. I had black
people who are in the public.
I had, ma'am.
Blacks
I had
have been made criminal by
black ma'am. You don't know what you're talking about, ma'am. Ma'am,
and
you don't know what you're talking about.
Hold on.
You out of your own mouth just said that you would slap me, ma'am. You out of your own mouth just said you would assault me, ma'am. It proves my point, ma'am. Ma'am, it wasn't a figure of speech, ma'am. It was not a figure of speech, ma'am. Ma'am.
Get over it.
Hey, Hey. Calm down. Chaotic. You've been talking a lot. But here's the deal. This is the big mic drop.
You want me to come over here now, Big Mike?
This is the big mic drop. This is the big mic drop. So Big Mike need to get some words in here, too. When Big Mike say, hold on, everybody hold on. Like, that's how we got to roll, man. Look, I want to have the conversation. Like I said, I'm glad everybody's here. I don't expect us to agree. This is going to be a hot-ass conversation. I already know
this. This is a debate.
But I have a question. Debate, exactly. I have a question, Chaotic. Is it fair for somebody who feels the way you feel to come over here and occupy our spaces with your rhetoric?
Yes. And Big Mike, yes, I do. And do you want me to leave or something?
No,
or
it's not that I want you to leave.
Oh,
I just want to know where this whole most blacks are criminals shit come from.
Okay, can I ask you a question, Big Mike? Can I ask you a question? Would I hurt
that part? Because if
Mike,
that's the case, then most of every
he was asking me. My God, he was asking me.
It's a group conversation. Hey, DJ ZP.
Utilize their own more than others.
I work.
If they don't.
In
that's called
explain
war.
Why African immigrants, be it immigrants or illegal, are making up the fastest amount of people going to jail now. So y'all
they're from a primitive country. They're animals
are
known
over there.
The most backstabbing criminals.
Ma'am, they're animals. Yes, I'll agree with you.
That don't sound nice.
They're animals. Yes, I'll agree with you.
Nice,
they're from a backwards country.
Hold on.
What are you talking about?
DJ.
It's from that country.
I'm telling you the truth. They're animals. They live in a backwards country with draconian laws, with corrupt police, corrupt politicians. They kill people. There are no FBI, BCI statistics there, ma'am. There are no oversight committees of the police. A police officer in Nigeria can just kill you on the side of the road and get away with it. They kill criminals, ma'am.
So,
no,
DJ,
they kill
DJ.
Innocent people.
No, they don't. Dude. Name one.
DJ ZP.
How come they don't kill black doctors? How come they don't kill black lawyers? Name me a black doctor, a black lawyer, a black engineer that got killed, man, by the police innocently. Go ahead, name it.
I'll say this.
I'll wait. Why is it always some niggas smoking weed who couldn't comply with
the
law?
Hold on. Can I tell you
this? It's never a black doctor. It's never a black lawyer. It's never a black engineer. It's always a black criminal.
Can I tell you this? Dr. Ralph J. Bunch, the doctor who came up with the process of separating plasma from blood for blood transfusions, was allowed to bleed to death on the side of the road because of a car accident because the police would not administer medical attention.
Exactly.
So, you know, our history is full of these stories. And I want DJ ZPE to talk because he was trying to talk when y'all kind of started going back at each other again. DJ ZPE's been quiet listening. DJ, you got the floor right now. What were you saying?
You got it.
I just find it ironic that a individual who comes from a land that suffered colonization very similar to ours here would be over here painting a narrative like we're all a bunch of criminals when his own people have been painted with that same target on their back. I mean, talk about calling the kettle black. Furthermore, as somebody who has European ancestry on my mother's side and not just so-called white, because it was a very ambiguous place before America and colonization, I can tell you certifiably that black does not apply to dark-skinned folk. It applies to the people from the Black Sea.
Caucasus Mountains, the word Caucasian does actually mean dark people.
It does. But the people associated with it today, complements of Johann Friedrich Blumenbach, are called Circassians. The fair Circassian, the antebellum Civil War white supremacist movement to postulate and propagate the pale Circassian brave fair woman as God.
And that's what you led with, Chaotic.
Statue of Baphomet.
You did lead with the white woman as God.
You're talking to a people who are steeped in hundreds of years of colonial fuckery. Like, you don't even know the game, bro. No disrespect to you, but you don't even know the game. Otherwise, you wouldn't be playing the pawn.
Exactly.
Using words like black over here, describing indigenous people from this land who have never been to the Black Sea, who have never left their homelands. We have never emigrated anywhere, so we're not part of a diaspora, which means to spread to the wind. Dia, to spread.
Exactly.
Spora, like spores from a plant, to spread. You are part of a diaspora into colonization through assimilation, self-assimilation.
Exactly.
I do not choose self-extinction. That is your prerogative. Everyone has the right to differentiate themselves instead of be herded into a body of group politics, which is precisely what you're doing. I am not black. I am not African. I'm not any of these fucking names. Frankly, neither the fuck are you. I've been to Africa. 16 different countries. Nobody called themselves African. They were Congolese. They were Senegalese. They're Ghanaian. They're not African. Africa is like America. It's a fucking religion for theosophical societies. It doesn't exist. It's your ecclesia and your boule fucking with you. I'm going to assume you're a part of the boule because you definitely ain't ecclesia. Otherwise, you would know some law to back up your bullshit.
Are you part of the boule?
I rest my case.
Are you part of the boule, Chaotic?
Yes, I am. I'm a member of Alpha Phi Alpha. Yes.
There you go.
Okay. Yeah.
Hey, well, it makes sense. Does everybody in the boule believe what you believe?
I have no idea what everybody believes in the boule, quote unquote. I'm only friends with a few individuals a part of my fraternity, sir.
What I'm asking is, is it a doctrine? Because when you join groups, you have to read
all we
literature.
Have is
I have no Big Mike. I would love to answer Big Mike, DJ. It's not your show. Let me answer Big Mike first. Big Mike, what were you asking me, sir?
I said, is it a doctrine? Is there a doctrine that you follow for? You say Alpha Phi Alpha.
Yes, there are a set of principles and creeds. Yes.
Right. So,
but that has nothing to do with my personal beliefs about the socioeconomic and political systems of black folk. And like I said before, DJ, you could be right. I could be wrong. That's your opinion. I have my opinion. I don't believe what you believe. You don't believe what I believe. Let's respectfully just disagree. I came on here.
I have Aboriginal title to the land.
Big Mike, I came over here because I thought this was a free and open panel. I thought I could give my opinion.
You've been able to give your
opinion. Yeah, that's what I'm doing, just giving my opinion. I mean, I was actually talking to DJ.
You've been doing your opinion.
You've been giving your opinion.
Loud and clear.
So I got a question for you. Since we got you here and you're a member of a fraternity, an American fraternity, why do they not have any principles that or doctrine that applies to the socioeconomical status of black people being it's a black fraternity? Explain that why
sir,
they don't.
You are
why
absolutely you are absolutely incorrect, sir, on every level. The Divine Nine has literally been the backbone of the black community. Some of the greatest leaders in history in black America have been members of the Divine Nine, sir. Right now, you're very
some of the
vice
worst
president.
Ones too. Some of the worst ones too. But go ahead.
Co-opted.
Some of the worst ones too. That in
you,
all fairness,
you guys, your hero Martin Luther King is one of my fraternity brothers. Jesse Jackson, whom Negroes love, is a member of Omega Psi Phi. So I can name
you
tons of them. Thurgood Marshall, the first justice of the U.S. Supreme Court, was an alpha. I can name you tons of people. Kamala Harris, who's the vice president, is an AKA. Black people in this country that have been a part of the Divine Nine literally are the fabric of Black America. Literally have built
literally
have been at the forefront of politics. Most politicians are members of the Divine Nine.
You
that are black. From
that's
mayors.
Why the black condition is what it is in this country.
No, ma'am, your condition is what it is because you haven't worked hard in life. Ma'am, it's a choice. You've made
you
a choice.
Bug hole. I have degrees just like you do.
You made a choice not to be successful in this country, ma'am. A lot of blacks in this country are not downtrodden, ma'am. So stop. A lot of black Americans are not downtrodden. You are downtrodden.